tonight if you've got a copy of God's Word. I'm glad to be here, ain't you? Man, this ain't a dead place. This is a live place. We serve a living God. Matthew chapter number 28 tonight. I want to start reading verse number 10. Then we'll go to verse 16. I want to show you tonight that God is with us. It's been a thought that's been on my heart. You know that for several weeks now on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday, that God is with us. And it's just been something that's been on my heart. And tonight I want to show you how He's with us in appointed places. There's appointed places in your life that God is with you. If you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word tonight. Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 10, the Bible says, "Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me." Look in verse number 16, "Then the 11 disciples..." Here it is. "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Father, we love you, and Father, we thank you for this night. Father, we come in this room tonight, and Lord, there's a lot of prayer requests that's been lifted up. Lord, tonight I pray for the ones that's lost loved ones this week. I pray for Brother David Barnes and his family. Lord, I pray that you would touch them this week as he lays his mom to rest come Friday. Lord, I pray right now for Sister Dana and Brother Jared. Lord God, I pray that you just watch over them as they lay their daddy to rest. Lord, there's a prayer request all over the room. Sister Riley had brought up a name tonight of the man that passed just unexpectedly. Lord, I pray you be with that wife there, Lord God, all over this room tonight. Lord, we just lift up these names tonight. Lord, baby Clyde with the ear infection and the blood that is running out of his ear, Lord, we pray you dry it up tonight in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord God, you're the one that can stop the blood. You're the one tonight can stop the flow. You're the one tonight can move on that baby, Lord God. You're the one that can touch that baby tonight, Father. Lord God, we thank you for doctors. We thank you for medicine. We thank you for the things of this world, but I thank you for your hand and your touch in our lives, Lord God. Lord, I pray you to reach down right now in that nursery, wherever he's at. And Lord, I pray you touch his body tonight, Father. Fight off that infection, war off that infection tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, I pray tonight for Brother Tony as he goes back tomorrow. Lord God, I pray you touch his body, Lord God. Lord God, I pray you heal what's been broken and fix what needs to be fixed. Lord God, I thank you that you've appointed this place, a place that we can come and worship you and glorify you and lift up no other name but the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for all of our widows in the house tonight. Lord God, as we were talking a while ago, and Father, they struggle with being alone. They struggle with the friendships that they have now. Lord, I pray you'd touch them. I pray you'd help them. Lord, I thank you that there's no friend like you. I thank you that there's no brother like you. I thank you that there's no companion like you, Father. Lord God, when I'm all alone, you're right there with me. And Lord, I pray tonight, you bless this study, bless the word, watch over us tonight. Anything that would hinder in this place today, Sunday night, and the days to come, remove it at all costs, Father, whatever it would take. Get it out of here, Father. All we want to see is the Holy Ghost. Let it move. Let it have free reign tonight. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. We glorify your name. It's in Jesus' name we ask and we pray. And all of God's people said, whoo, glory to God. Amen. You may be seated tonight. The appointed places. Now, I want to say to you tonight before we get into this text that God can meet you anywhere, any place, and any time tonight. I want you to know that. But there's times in your life and there's times in my life that there are appointed places. And he tells you to go to certain places. He tells you that he'll meet you there. He'll meet you in that place. And you know where that is. I'm sure that you have a Bethel in your life. You have a place that you go to. You have a place that's set aside that you go and pray, and not everybody and their mama knows about it. It's just a place that you go and you get along with God. But here tonight, God is with us in appointed places after the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here in verse number 10, the disciples, they came and Jesus told them, I want you to go to an appointed place. I want you to go to their place. He said, there at that place, if you'll go to Galilee, if you'll go to that mountain, there you shall see me. Jesus himself had told them to go to that place. We've been looking at God is with us, and definitely he is with us in appointed places. He's with us when we get to them places places in our life. And I want to show you a few places here in this small text where you can see God mightily in your life tonight. You say, preacher, I've not seen him very well. I've seen him very clearly in my life. Can I say to you tonight, number one, if you'll get to the mountain that he appointed you to get on, you'll see God more clearly tonight. Look what he said in verse number 16. He said, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, to the place that they were appointed, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. I want to say to you tonight that God is with us on the mountaintop. If you want to know where God is, get looking for him on the mountaintop. Can I get an amen? Hey, I know a lot of us say that he's the God of the valley, and he is. He'll meet you in your valley, but I want to meet him on the mountaintop. Amen. Hey, I want to meet him if I'm climbing up the mountain, crawling up the mountain, walking up the mountain, running up the mountain, ever how you want to call it. I want to get to the top of the mountain. I want to get to where God is in my life. And you say, preacher, why is that tonight? Because I have found when you get to that mountaintop, you'll be able to pray. Can I get an amen? If you can ever get to that mountaintop, if you can ever get to the top of the mountain, you can see God more clearly. You can pray on the top of that mountain. And here's what he said. He told them 11 disciples, he said, go into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. You say, what do you do there? You pray on that mountain. Turn with me, if you will, to Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 46 tonight. I want to show you this about Jesus tonight when he went to the mountain to pray. I say to you tonight that God is with us on the mountain, and he's with us when we pray on that mountain, when we get to that place in our life and we call on Almighty God tonight. Look with me, if you will, to Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 46. He had just fed the 5,000. He had just fed 5,000 people, and he constrains his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side. He said, where did Jesus go? Where is Jesus at? I say to you tonight, he's in the mountain. Amen. He is the mountain tonight. He is higher than everything else. He can see what you can't see. He can feel what you can't feel. He knows what you don't know. He is on the mountain. Amen. Look what he said tonight in Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 46. And when he has sent them away, he departed in a mountain to pray. What did he do, preacher, when he went to the mountain? He went to the mountain to pray. Who did he go to the mountain to pray for? He went to pray for himself, and he went to pray for you and I. Can I say to you tonight, it's good to have brothers and sisters that'll pray for you. But how great it is when you got a God in heaven, Jesus Christ himself, that prays for you, that lifts you up, that calls your name out, that knows who you are, that knows the hair on your head, that knows the problems that's in your life, that knows the pain that's going on. Friends, can I say to you, he is the God of the mountain. He is the God that's on the mountaintop. He's on the mountain, and you can find him when you need to pray. Hey, can I say to you, he's not on the mountain. We go to the mountain to pray, but there's mountains when we see there are blessings there and not burdens. There's no burdens on the mountains. There's only blessings there. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 12 tonight. I say to you tonight that he is the God on the mountain tonight. If you'll get to that place, you'll see him more clearly in your life. We go to the mountain to pray. We go to the mountain when we need a blessing tonight. Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 12. Here's what the Bible said. Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 12. He said, when did he go to the mountain? He went to the mountain after he fed the 5,000, and he went to the mountain after he healed the man with the withered hand. Anytime God shows up in your life, anytime he does a great miracle, anytime he does anything in your life and you recognize it tonight, you remember this tonight, you need prayer in your life. Don't you let down. Don't you set down. Don't you give up. Hey, when you do tonight, the old devourer's on your case. He's right on your heels tonight. Every time Jesus did something great, what did he do? He went to the mountain. He set himself apart. He got back to the place to pray. When you get a victory down here, hey, don't think it's over. Oh, Satan, he's coming up behind you. When you get a victory here, get back to praying. Amen. Glory to God. Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 12, after he's healed the man with the withered hand. Look what he said in verse number 10. Let's go there. And looking round about them, he said to them, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness. Hey, let me stop right here for a minute. When somebody gets healed, when somebody gets delivered, when somebody gets set free, there's going to be some church folk that ain't going to like it. Hey, when somebody gets a touch from God and they start saying that God done this and God done this and God healed me, God saved me, and they're giving God the praise, there's going to be some old stiff-necked church folk that ain't going to like what you're saying tonight. Hey, but I got good news tonight. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Can I get an amen? Hey, can I say to you, he's the God on the mountain tonight. You remember that tonight. Look what he said. And they were filled with madness. Why? Because this man was born with a withered hand. This old hand was withered. I'm talking about a hand you never would want to shake. If you walked up to him, you wouldn't want to shake that hand. The first thing you'd notice was that withered hand.
And you know what Jesus did? He walks up to him and he said, go to heal his withered hand. And he said, stretch forth your hand. This old man's got a withered hand. You know he wants to stretch forth that good hand because nobody else wants to shake the bad hand. But that ain't what Jesus wants. He didn't want his goodness. He wanted his badness. Woo, glory to God. Amen. He didn't want his goodness. He wanted his badness. He didn't want what everybody else wanted. He wanted what everybody else didn't want from that man. He said, stretch forth your hand. Can you imagine that? This thing's been withered for so long, and you want me to stretch it forth? You want me to put it out there? You want me to put it out in the midst of everybody? You want me to show my pain? You want me to show my problem? You want me to come forth? And Jesus said, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Because I'm going to do something in your life, and I'm going to prove it to the whole world. He's never done a work in your life for it to be secret. The work he's done in your life is to be public. And he told the man with the withered hand, he said, stretch forth your hand. And the Bible says, and immediately as he stretched forth his hand, that hand became whole. That hand became new. And guess what happened when it became new and it became whole? It all got put together. Man, you started living your life. You're on fire for God. You're trying to do more. You're trying to witness more. You know what? Those church folk got mad. Church, look what he said there. And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Right back with what it needed to be. Go to verse number 11, Brother Jay. Just like it needed to be. And they were filled with madness and commune one with another what they might do to Jesus. What they want to do to Jesus? They wanted him gone. They wanted him killed. They wanted him out of there. Why? Because he's making people whole. Can I say to you tonight, he can make you whole tonight. He said, preacher, you think he can make me whole? There ain't nothing in your life he can't take a hold of. Amen. Hey, tonight he can do that tonight. And look with us in verse number 12. And it came to pass in those days, Jesus knew what they was wanting. They knew they didn't like it. They knew that he'd done a mountaintop experience right there amongst them people. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray. What I tell you, you can find on a mountain. You can always find God on the mountain. And God's always praying. He's always moving. He's always working. He's always taking care of you. He's always taking care of me. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Can I say to you, you can find him on the mountaintop when you need him. Amen. I see tonight you find him on the mountaintop. We went through a few there. But not only the mountaintop when we need to pray. Not only when we need a blessing. But when we need something transfigured in our life. Something changed. Something new in our life. You can find him on the mountaintop. Amen. Turn with me if you will tonight to Mark chapter number 9. I want to show you this. We're talking about a mountaintop. How God can move on a mountaintop. He moves when we need prayer. He moves when we need a blessing on the mountain. He moves with his promise. And also he moves with his power. And in Mark chapter number 9 and verse number 2. Let me show you this. You say, preacher, how did they know where to go when he told him to go to the mountain? How did he know where to go when they said go to the mountain? Now some scholars will tell you that this is Mount Tabor, and I believe that, and some scholars will tell you other things, but you listen to me tonight. The men he told to go to the mountain, they knew where the mountain was. Brother Roy, they done been to that mountaintop. They done had that experience. They knew where to go. They knew where to find God. Hey, can I say to you tonight, if you've been dried up and withered tonight, you know where you can find God? In this local place, in a local body church where they're preaching thus saith the word of God. They're opening up an old King James Bible and they're preaching you the truth, and they're not watering it down, but they're giving you the truth of God's word. He said tonight, let me give you this. Oh, Peter knew where the mountain was. He was one of the 11. Oh, John knew where the mountain was. He was one of the 11. Oh, James knew where the mountain was. He was one of the 11. Can I say to you tonight, if you're part and you've been born again, you ought to know where the mountain is. You ought not have no preacher have to get you to the mountain. Now, somebody just had a come apart fit right there. If you're born again, you ought to know where the mountaintop is. He said, but I sure like being in the valley. It feels good complaining and whining and bellyaching. Get out of that and get on the mountaintop. Listen to me. He didn't save you to put you in that valley all your life. Now, you do hear things around here that people's in valleys. But thank God, Brother Tony, you still ain't in ICU in Amory, Mississippi. Hello? Sister Kathy, thank God you still ain't in ICU over there in Tupelo, Mississippi. You can't stay there. You got to come out of that place. You got to get to the mountaintop. You can't stay down there. You'll die down there. You'll die down. You'll die in the valley. The flood will come. It'll drown you. You'll die in the valley. You've got to get to the mountain. Mark chapter number 9 and verse number 2. Here's, I'm talking about that transfiguration, how things changes. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter. I done told you Peter. Took with him James and took with him John. He always took Peter, James, and John. Why? Because there's a bunch of mess ups. And us that mess up a lot, he's got to keep real close. Brother, oh, can I use you? Can I use you tonight? Not me and you. Amen. Just because we all know who you are. Amen. He got to keep me and you real close. You hear me? He got to keep us right there in the inner circle. You know what I mean? Because if he gives us any free reign, man, hey, we get sideways. Is that not true? Is that not true, Brother Jerry Gavin? So he always got Peter, James, and John right there in his inner circle because he knows them, oh boy, hey, they'll cut an ear off. I mean, they're just cutting them jokers. They just ain't right, son. They love Jesus, but they just ain't right. Do we got anybody here like this tonight? You know what I'm saying? Hey, you love Jesus, but you just ain't always hooked up right. Look what he says now. And he had Peter, James, and John, and he leadeth them into what? A high mountain. See, I'm talking about a mountain tonight. He told them where to go. He said, if you'll get to that mountain, you'll find me. And he led them off into a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. What does that mean, preacher? He was changed right before their eyes. They no longer seen him as what they'd always seen him as. But Tony, you don't see Jesus like you seen him 2 weeks ago. You see him totally different now when you went through that valley. Now you back climbing back that mountain, getting back on the mountaintop. You don't see him like you used to see him. Here's what he said. He said, and he was transfigured before them, and his raiment, what is this now? Peter, James, and John, they didn't change. Jesus changed. The way they perceived, the way they looked, the way they seen Jesus changed. Folks, tonight, can I say to you, I'm just Brother BJ, but every time I get a clear glimpse of the Savior, it changes me. But I've got to get a glimpse of him. I got to look at him. I can't have my eyes on you. I can't have my eyes on the community. I got to have my eyes on the cross. It changes me. It changes me. He was transformed before them, and it says his raiment became shining. It be exceeding white as snow, so as no fool on earth can white them. That little bit of snow we got last night was white. About 5:30 this morning, usually it's dark at the house, but with snow on the ground, it looked daylight outside, Brother Roy. Why? Because it was white as snow. When you start seeing Jesus and all his purity and how white he is, the world around you won't be near as dark as you think it is. Can I get an amen, somebody? You say, preacher, what are you talking about tonight? God's with us at appointed places. He's with us on the mountains. Let me move on here in the next verse here. He's not only with us on the mountain. Can anybody testify tonight with a raising hand? You've seen him on the mountain. Amen. Glory to God. But he's also with you in the moment. Not only on the mountaintops, but he's with you in the moment you start believing. Look what he said here. Let me show you this tonight, what he said here as we go back to the text. Now, he's with us in the mountaintop, but he's also with us in the moment. Verse 16, he told them to go to the mountain. They went to the mountain, to the appointed place. But in the moment, look at verse 17. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. God's not only with us on the mountaintop, but he's with us in the moment of every life, all life. He's with us in that moment. The moment we're willing to move and go. The moment we're willing to get up and go and quit sitting still. The moment we're willing to go. He told them where to go, but they'd have never seen him if they wouldn't have went there. He said, you go to the mountain. You want a moment in your life? You want God to have a special moment in your life? You got to get up from where you're at. You got to get to moving. You got to get up to move. You got to move. You had to move. You had to move. It said what they did. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. The moment we're willing to move and go, that's a moment. The moment we believe, that's a moment. Amen. The moment we believe. Said they saw him, but some doubted. Hey, they're going to be doubters all the days of your life. They're going to be doubters all the days of your life. Don't you worry about the doubters or the powders. Amen. You worry about Jesus. Get your eyes off them. Get your eyes on Jesus. The moment they're willing to move. The moment they believe. You say, preacher, what's the big deal about the moment they believe? Some doubted, but some believe. What's the big deal about believing? Believing opens the hand of God. Believing opens the heavens. Believing opens up the glory world. Believing opens up a lot of things in your life. If you can't believe, it won't be open unto you. If you can't believe, it won't be open unto you. Got to have childlike faith to believe that he is who he said he is. Got to have childlike faith to believe he was born of a virgin. Lived 33 years on this earth. Got to have faith to believe he died on an old rugged cross. Got to have faith to believe that he was put in a borrowed tomb. Got to have faith to believe that he rose again. And you got to have faith to believe that he's there today on the right hand of the Father. Got to have faith to believe that. I've never seen him, but I believe it. I've never seen him, but I believe it, Sister Denise. Never seen him, but I believe it. I believe the nail-scarred hands. I've never touched him, but I believe it. I've never seen the crown of thorns on his head, but I believe it. Mel Gibson can't even portray it in the Passion. That's just a mocker. That's not even real. That's not even real. That's not even real what he went through. Listen to me. I've heard people get tore up about that movie and start squalling, having a fit. That's not even half of what he went through. Mel Gibson did not have the sin of the world hanging on him. He was just in a movie. See, I've never seen it, but I believe it. Hebrews 11, 6. Put that up there, Brother Jake. Hebrews 11, 6. He says, is faith that big a deal? It is. Faith will move mountains. Faith will move mountains. You get believing, you say, preacher, I don't know what to do. Listen to me. Faith will move mountains, and faith will take you to the mountain. Look what he said in Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith. Now, I'm talking about, he told him, he said, you go at this appointed place. I'm going to show you a mountain, and I'm going to show it to you in a moment of time. Moment of time, I'm going to give you what you need. Y'all believe God can do that in your life? I don't believe you have to wait, man. I'm very impatient, too. Amen. I'm very impatient. I'm not a waiter. And God knows that. He takes care of me big times. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. If you ain't got faith, you say, preacher, I ain't got faith. Bible also says he's gave every man a measure of faith. Everybody's got a measure of faith. Some big, some little, but thank God it don't take nothing big. It just takes something little, amen? But without faith, it is impossible to what? To please him. Now, if you want God to, you get that mountaintop and you want him to do something in your life, you're going to have faith. When everything's stacked against you, you say, it ain't going to work. That ain't faith. And faith ain't when your pocketbook's fat and all thick and everything, and everything's going good, and your car ain't tore up, and everything's going great. Your marriage is, on the mountaintop. That's not faith. Faith is when everything's falling apart, and you don't know what's going on, and you stand in flat foot, and you say, I can't, but God can. Amen? I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but God can. He's going to get me through this. I know he is. He's done it before, and he'll do it all over again. That's faith. Brother Roy, faith is when you lose your daughter, when your daughter gets killed and you didn't even know it was coming, you and sister killed. That's faith, that you still stand on the word of God and you keep marching. That's faith. That's the kind of faith I'm talking about. That's not the faith that crumbles and caves in, but you stand on that. That's faith tonight. That's faith tonight. Your grandma today, when she left this world to go to the glory world, that's faith to look death right in the eyes and say, hey, I'll be over there. That's faith. That's faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. You want to please God? Have faith in him. Just have faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, that's you or me, it don't matter who it is. It don't matter who it is. It don't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been or how sorry you've been. I'm sorry as the rest of them. Amen? It don't matter. That has nothing to do with it. Look, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That he is what? That he's everything. That he is the creator. That he is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. What he says goes. It trumps everybody. Nobody trumps him. Nobody's over him. When he tells me to move, I'm going to move. When he tells me to dance, I'm going to dance. When he tells me to shout, I'm going to shout. And when he tells me to shut up, I'm going to shut up. That's who he is. They come. He that cometh to God must believe that he is everything and that he is, nobody else, is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You seek him in faith, I promise you tonight, you're going to be on a mountaintop. Valley may come. Now, valleys come. Valleys come. But thank God for a mountaintop. Thank God for a mountaintop. Thank God for a moment in your life where God has moved. He said some doubted, but we're not part of the doubters. We're not part of the doubters here. He said, preacher, I'm not part of them doubters. I pray when you leave tonight, you won't be part of them doubters. You'll be a part of them shouters. Amen? You want to shout glory down because what God's done in your life. Let's move on here tonight, and we'll get where we need to close up tonight. Let me show you this tonight. Not only is that, not only do we see the moment of willing to go, the moment we believe, the moment we begin to worship him. Look what the Bible says. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. Man, that moves God. Believing moves God. Worshiping him moves God. And the moment they were willing to receive. John 16, 24. Turn with me there just for a moment tonight. John 16 and verse number 24. I want to show you this tonight. The moment we're willing to receive what he has for us. Here's what the Bible says in John 16 and verse number 24. The Bible says, hitherto, that means now, later in the past, you have not. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. He said, disciples, you're loaded to the gills. You got a Father in heaven that don't only own the cattle, but he owns the hills they're standing on. And you walking around with your head in the sand, you need to get your head up. You need to get your eyes on the cross. He said, I got something I'm going to lock for you, but you ain't asked for it. And I ain't giving it to you. You see, let me give you a little parable. Me and my daughter's got a joint account. That's dangerous. Me, my wife, my daughter, we all got a joint account. Daddy's account's over here. When you got to transfer money, it don't take long to tell whose account you're looking at. Amen? Daddy ain't got a lot, but daddy got more than daughter does. Daughter ain't got a job. Y'all, and she's in school. And I made the mistake by telling her, you get an education, do good, and daddy will cover everything. You make sure that you won't need bologna ring soup when you say that. Amen. Come on, talk to me, somebody. So here's Daddy and Mama's account. And here's Kaylee's account. And I don't keep an eye on her account. I'm not watching her account. I'm not worried about when it gets low. It don't bother me. It don't stress me. It does not do none of them things to me when it starts getting low. I don't wring my hands. I don't do none of that. When she calls and says, Daddy, I need money, you know what I do? Listen to me. Come on, somebody. Get this tonight. Get this tonight. I transfer it from my account to her account. Do I transfer every bit of mine over there? Oh, well, Lord, no. How foolish would that be? Then we ain't got no power. We ain't going to have no gas. But I transfer what she needs. Please get this tonight. God's got all of this right here. And you're sitting over here and you say, God, you're wringing your hands. You're going crazy. You don't know what to do. You're trying to make ends meet. And God's saying, hitherto, you've not asked me nothing. You say, well, he's supposed to give it to me. He just ain't going to give it to you. You ask him, though, and he'll meet your need according to his riches and glory. Here's what he says. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. He said, ask. I'd say half of us tonight ain't asking for nothing. That would blow your mind when he gave it to you. Ask for little bitty things. Little things that just... We serve a big God. I'm just going to leave it right there. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask. Ask. And you shall receive that your joy may be full. Psalm 34:17 says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. God is with us on the mountaintop. God is with us in the moment. And God is with us on every mile of our life. In the mission that you're on, he's with you. Child of God, he's with you. The mile you're walking right now, he don't get off. He don't get off the train and let you go on. He's right there with you every mile of your life. Look what he said here. Go back to the text. We're going to close. They're getting ready to come in. Here's what he says tonight in Matthew 28 and verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given. No, he told every one of them. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. God is with us every mile that we walk, every mission that we're on. Our mission is to go. Our mission is to teach. Our mission is to baptize. Our mission is to observe all things. We're not here to make decisions. We're here to make disciples. I'm going to share this before we go. And let me tell you how good a father we got. He's not like an earthly father. And we'll let him down. Kaylee woke me up one morning at 5 o'clock and said, Daddy, I ain't got a whole lot in my account. Will you help me? I said, yeah, baby, it's going to work. She's doing clinicals. It's going to work. Daddy, get it. Don't worry about it. My phone rung just a few minutes later, and there's a death, and I had to get up and go, and I took off running. And I forgot all about her. And she got over there to a little old restaurant in Tupelo, and she went up there to him, ordered her food, and swiped her card. Decline. She run that thing seven times. Seven times it was decline, 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 decline. She's persistent. She said, thank God I had a 20 stuck back, Daddy. Can I say to you? Listen to me. If you'll get to where he is, I'm talking about spiritually, listen to me. You just get hooked up with where God is, not worry about everything else. And you get to that mountaintop and you remember every moment of your life, he's there. There's not a mission you're on or a mile you'll walk that he's not right there with you. You'll never get to a place in your life spiritually where you're declined. You'll have free access to the Father. Never once, he's not going to forget you. Earthly fathers will forget. Earthly fathers will forget. We'll do our best. There's not a daddy in here who wouldn't take care of that. We'll do the most we can. And I try to tell, and it was a parable I got to teach her. I even taught her that. Baby, I'm sorry I let you down. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But it was a teaching moment for me, it was a teaching moment for her. But you know what I told her, Brother Roy? I said, you got a God in heaven that he'll never let you down. Tonight, if I can give you anything, you get to them appointed places, God will meet you there. Father, we love you and we thank you. Praise you and glorify you and lift up your name. And Lord, anything else that I've left off tonight, you cover it in the blood of Jesus.
Lord, the fun I had there at the beginning of the service, covered in the blood of Jesus. Lord, you, man, Father, you know me. I talk to you all the time just because you're my Father. You're my Father. I reverence you when I come to you, but I talk to you. You're my best friend. You're my Father. You're my Savior. You're the one hung on the cross and gave me life that I may have it more abundantly. Father, that's why I've got joy and like to have a good time. Because, Father, you saved me. I ain't going to hell no more. Boy, that's something to put a shout on you. Lord, you bless this group tonight and help them real good. Lord, for that one that ain't called on you here lately, that ain't put your hand to the fire, I pray they'd do that tonight. I pray they'd lay their fleece out before you tonight. You show them how big a God you are. Lord God, I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. I'm not preaching that, no sir. But I am preaching this, that we got a God that hears and a God that answers. We ask it tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious name. All of God's people say.